Okay, sports fans, welcome to week three of the NFL season. I guess in week four of the college football season, right, Josh? Is that what it would be?
Five.
The first four
or five
full
I guess.
Weeks, right, if you count week zero as the two-game weekend.
All right. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. What's going on, Mr. Josh?
Ken, just sitting here checking out the whole weekend slate of games and hoping I can take down one of these jackpots. Yeah, one of these, the college football progressive, I think, is one I should be able to win, and I've been gunning for it for a few years now. So,
all right,
I think I'm due.
Well, you're very modest.
Well, it's not. Look, if all the stuff we try to win, I'll take 15. You want to hit the pro pick, and when it hits six figures, I'll take 15.
That's when we swing into action.
Right.
Yeah. Get $100.
It's like the lottery. We start playing 100 cards.
A couple of Franklins.
Got to go through Bob Martini, though, right?
Yeah, no doubt. That guy's a legend. He's hit a couple, and he hits them right here at the county.
I know it.
He hit one for like 109,000 and one for like, didn't he hit one for like 90,000?
Something crazy. Yeah.
Like Reno Pizza. So if you're looking for some wagers, go down to Reno Pizza, ask for Bob Martini, and tell him that Kenny B sent you. So,
and he gets free advertising.
Yeah, and he gets free advertising. Tell him that drinks are on the house.
Yeah, there you go.
Meaning if you order a pizza, you get a Coke.
There you go.
So that being said, I am your host, Kenny B, here coming to you live from the Club Count Eva. We have three games of football. Obviously, the big news real quick right now, this game already kicked off, so we can't get down on that. Louisiana Tech and FIU, I think the number was 7 and 51. Mm-hmm. La Tech laying 7 at home and 51. I made a little parlay bet, just sprinkled something around. Nothing. I don't really have a big opinion in this game. So, Josh, do you have any live money on this game?
I did. Just before the game started, I fired up the app, Ken, and I was
able
to get in on Florida International, who I think is a little bit underrated. You know what's weird? They had a bowl campaign last year, end of the season, real strong, had a lot of good returning players. I thought they'd be really good. They got blown out the first week by Tulane, who we saw last night. You know, they're coached by Butch Davis, the former Miami coach, and they're struggling, but that's why I feel they're a little undervalued here, because now you're getting a full touchdown, and FIU, I think, should get back on track.
Happy Fridays, Mr. Thomas Carr. I appreciate that. So, two games still a little bit later. Let me. I'm in my app. Right
two
here.
Good games.
Two good games. Let me get to my college football app right here. I'll give you the current lines. I was on the NFL, Florida National, La Tech right there. I guess you can still bet it. They still have it up. They probably won't book the bet though. But Utah plays USC tonight. Utah laying 3.5. Total 53.5. Like you said, John, both good games. The other game we're going to talk about too, Boise Air Force. Big Mountain West Conference matchup. But I don't. Josh, John, what are you guys' thoughts on? I want to hear what your thoughts are on USC. I mean, everybody kind of knows they're the most non-covering team in all of college football.
Right.
I think they're one of the five most non-covering teams in all of college football. Here they are, isolated game, Friday night, getting three with a total of 53.5.
Yes, Ken, it's funny how some of the perceptions work, but the Trojans have been over-respected ever since their national championship, Pete Carroll, Matt Leinart days. And suddenly every year it's like, oh, wow, they got all these blue chippers. And they never do anything. I mean, they're lucky if they cover three or four games every year. You can really do pretty good jumping in there against them. I thought the same this year, but you realize they're already low handicapped since they lost JT Daniels, their quarterback, started as a freshman last year. They had other okay surrounding talent, but he goes down in game one. They end up losing in overtime to BYU last week. And this would be Clay Helton's might not survive the season. USC might be lucky if they break even and get a bowl game. This one right here, a lot of people think Utah might be the front runner in the Pac-12. They always seem to match up well with you because USC tends to be finesse and Utah is so physical. Utah matches up well with them. It's tough to play them as a road favorite. But, Ken, speaking of the action we had tonight, I took Florida International on a straight bet, and then I did a parlay, and I took them to Utah money line. I didn't like the hook there laying 3.5, but I parlayed it to -175 because I think the Utes get out of there with the win, and they probably cover, but I just like money line better.
That's the thing. It's a scary, scary game for Utah, and it's a huge game for Utah. If they have playoff aspirations. If they run the table, they could get there.
Right, and now Washington's already almost out.
Washington's already almost out. Oregon,
But Washington will be the team that beats Utah. It's a problem as the Pac-12 cannibalizes each other.
If the Auburn game's Oregon's only loss, they're going to be fine.
Yeah,
but it's a scary, scary game. I believe they're much better in almost every facet of the game, but it's just still going into the LA Coliseum. It's a Friday night. USC under the lights. That's it. That's
right. Crazy
that
stuff
up.
Can happen.
It
you're
really
right. Sometimes
does.
Utah's not as poised as they usually are in that situation. But you're right. Just Huntley. I mean, they have the athletes. They just have better personnel up and down against USC. Like you said, it doesn't guarantee anything. I guess that's why I took sort of a conservative route, which I normally wouldn't. I'd say, hey, play a side of the spread or leave it alone. Here I am kind of getting chalky with the money line. But that's the thing. I think to get out of there, I don't like, you know, laying those points.
And how poetic would be, you know, how college football works. A week after losing to BYU, beating Utah would be something else.
Exactly.
But I don't love it. It's just it's a scary thing to do, to lay points, lay over a field goal at USC at any point.
Exactly.
So.
And in college football, as I'm sure you're aware, I mean, the home underdog can bite you in any sport, but it seems like the road chalk in college football, probably the worst thing you could get attached to, because the home underdogs rise up all the time.
Kyle Whittingham is so solid, though. He's a guy that you know they're going to be prepared. You know Utah's going to be ready to go. You know that they're not going to beat themselves. So it's a fair thing to do, to bet Utah and not really worry about that part of it. Stupid things beating you, you know, what some teams can do to you.
The USC's 2-1 this year. Utah, like you said, are 3-0. USC's won the last 8 games in Southern California versus Utah. So USC has historical trend there, you know, advantage.
Right. And you know what they do, Ken, though? It's like they're usually laying 14 and they win by 3. It's the other way around. Yeah, they never cover that one either.
You know, it's crazy, though. Utah, you know how many times in 3 games Utah's turned the ball over in 3 games? One time. One time in 3 games. That's impressive. Even more impressive.
That goes to my point, exactly. Yeah,
even more impressive, they're one of 4 teams this year that has not allowed a sack.
That's a good combination right there.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
It shows you too that they're always strong at the line of scrimmage.
And then so you get a Utah team here 3-0, you know, and I think they're more fired up right now than I think USC is. You know, USC is already, you know, their season's over. I mean, in my opinion,
I think
they're
so
terrible.
Too.
I mean,
they lost, but it wasn't a conference game. You know, I mean, you still have until you. Yeah, but lose these conference games.
But they play for national titles.
They do, but they didn't have any national title aspirations going this year. Let's be honest.
No, I disagree. I think they do every year.
No, I mean, ideally, yeah, USC is going to play for the national championship, but they're also, you have to be real about this type of stuff.
What do you
think,
though? So Lynn Swann just resigned. It's one of those things. Helton, as much as anybody, he's sort of on the hot seat. I mean, if they lose this one, let's say they lose it badly, at some point they end up, you know, with the losing record or under 500. I mean, I think there's a good chance he's gone by the end of this year.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, Urban Meyer's there tonight. Imagine that guy at USC.
Everything. Yeah, he's got brain tumors and all kinds of reasons he can't coach. And all he needs is a year off. And suddenly he's fine. He came back to Ohio. Remember, he was dying when he left Florida, dying of a terminal illness. And then he popped back up at Ohio State. And now, again, he's, you know, retired and he'll be back.
He has Magic Johnson's doctor.
Apparently.
Yeah. No, he does.
Working his way back towards the West.
All right. Second game later tonight. This game opened up at 9.5, and it's down to 7.5. 2-point move, I mean, which is crazy. But what a great matchup. Air Force goes to Boise. Both teams are undefeated. Right now, it's moved all the way down to Boise, minus 7.5, and a total of 53. I'm excited about this game. You know, I had a little bit of a wager when Boise played Marshall a couple of weeks ago, and you know they kind of sleptwalked through that game. You know, and then if you go back to the game before that versus Florida State,
first half they were not there.
They were getting their butts kicked, and then all of a sudden Florida State doesn't show up. And so I'm still out in the wild about how I feel about Boise State, and I just don't know. But now that you know they get this Air Force squad, they're ranked second nationally in rushing per game. They're averaging 350 with the triple option, obviously 356 yards a game rushing. It's kind of a unique matchup for me to look at, but I don't know where I stand with Boise. Even though they are 3-0, they could very easily be 1-2.
Well, no, you're right, Ken. And not only did you mention, you know, gave them 31 points in the first half to Florida State, that wasn't looking good. You know, what's funny is ever since then, that's unlike Boise. Solid defensively is what they've been. It's kind of funny. They've changed their identity a little bit because under Brian Harsin, they've been consistently solid defensively, but they've lacked that explosive offense that they had under Chris Peterson and the creativity. And they've been okay, but it's just you can count on the defense. The points have been way down. But they come back in Florida State. You're right, a couple plays here and there, they could be 1-2 because Marshall outplayed them for 3 quarters. I mean, period. They're down 7-0 at halftime, and they were just fortunate. They put together one drive in the fourth and held off Marshall, and then they beat Portland State, you know, last week. So who cares?
But who cares?
Air Force is coming in there. You know, they haven't been very good for a couple years, 5-7 last year. But now it's one of those things. It's with the academies or anywhere else. especially Air Force, they don't have to worry about early NFL entries. They have guys who are around for a long time. Now they have one of the most experienced offensive lines in the country. So they're doing their thing where, again, it looks like they're practically unstoppable. And they've given Boise a lot of trouble. In this series, Boise has won the last two, Ken, but you realize before that, Air Force had won three in a row. No one ever wins on the Smurf turf.
Yeah.
Air Force did 2 years ago as a 14-point dog. So it looks, again, where Air Force is one of those unstoppable, you know, teams just give people fits. You know, they beat Colorado last week in overtime.
Big win.
So now you wonder, can they carry it on? Ken, I've been back and forth. It was 7 earlier today, 7 flat. Now it's 7.5. If it stays there, I consider Air Force because they're, let's face it, they're hard to separate from.
When Air Force is good, they're a nightmare to play against.
And did you see the game last week, John? Because bring it up because they hit big passes, too.
Yeah.
You know, they usually only do one or two a game. They had two long touchdowns against Colorado.
I was just going to say, they always have that in their bag of tricks, just waiting for the right time. And they seem to pick that right time all the time. Remember they had one against Wolfpack.
Basically, when you just give up and put all 11 guys on the line of scrimmage,
exactly.
So they sneak
and you're
a guy
just like,
out.
All right, here we go.
Right.
And they're not scared. They're very experienced. They're very disciplined. Obviously, the line move makes sense to me. I wish I'd have jumped on it earlier when it was 9.5 as opposed to the 7.5 now. But it's going to be really interesting to see if Boise, like you said, can separate from this team. I don't know if they can.
I agree. If you don't have the discipline on defense too, the game could get ugly early.
I think you may have mentioned the total 55. It was earlier today. It's 53 now. Means huge move on the under, which I kind of like because even though these teams can put up points, Air Force they can both score. But I also think this is gonna be one of those typical, you know, Air Force eats that clock with 10 minutes. You have 15 plays, and Boise has a run based offense too. I actually think it hits the under. I don't like taking the worst of it though.
What's the track look like? Is there weather in Boise? Could that dictate this number move?
I haven't seen
it. Because I didn't see the number move until late, and I didn't get a chance to research it.
But you're right, especially in Boise, that's a great point because it usually factors into it. And the first time they show a live shot, there's a foot of snow on the ground or whatever. Yeah, that can influence it. But
well, it's kind of – I mean, Air Force doesn't care about the elements. Not, Boise doesn't either. So,
right.
But the public does. I mean,
exactly.
It's like
you
said, it's an immediate overreaction, Josh, when they see the snow.
I think the style of play, though, like the Air Force tends to eat the clock anyway, but they also like to keep the opponent, you know, off the field. So similar to, like, Army, you know, exact same offense. I mean, I feel like they're just going to eat that clock, and I can't – I mean, there could be big plays, too, because occasionally you pop one and 75 yards, but I don't see it going over.
67 degrees, mostly cloudy. It's fine.
So you got fast track.
Fast track.
So I mean, I guess the normal track. So both those games kick off at 6 o'clock tonight. Is it 6 o'clock? Yeah, you'll be 30 minutes deep into those games before the end of the show. That's awesome.
Correct.
So two games tonight, like we talked about. We have the Utah-USC game and still the Boise Air Force game. Plenty. Fire up the app, like Josh says, and make some wagers. Get in action. Right, Josh?
Exactly. It's the best way. You know, we're sitting here. They're going to have in-game on every single contest tonight, and that's a good way to make multiple wagers.
Oh, I love it, don't you?
I do.
All right. Nevada Wolfpack travels and plays UTEP tomorrow. UTEP 1-1 this year. They lost to Texas Tech 38-13, and they beat Houston Baptist. They really separated from Houston Baptist 36-34.
Oh man,
Houston Baptist.
Yeah,
I think they're like, are they NAIA or?
Which goes back to my question is, Nevada's laying 14 in this point, and it opened up at 14. Nick Bogdanovich, the lead trader here at William Hill, who puts out all the numbers, he used 14.5 on the card. So you're talking about him getting his numbers in pre-early week, and that just kind of goes to show you what Nick thinks. Nick thinks Nevada's going to cover this game, and, you know, Nevada's – they're due for a get-well game. I mean, John, we were at the game last week, and, man, I just – something's got to give. I mean, I just – something's got to give. I mean, I don't know what it is with this Wolfpack team, but we're better than our showings on the field.
Stop turning the ball over, first of all.
No doubt about that.
That's number one. I read an article that he challenged the union. He challenged the offensive line to play their best. I think it is a get-well game. I think it's time for them. You know, they haven't had a great record on the road, as we know, under Norvell or really anybody. But it's time. This is a good matchup for them. It's a historic stadium. It's a real cool place to play. You know, UTEP's they're struggling. I would say they're on the downturn. They might be have gone to the bottom and working their way up.
Let's face it, for the last few years, they've been among the worst FBS teams in the country.
Exactly.
By a mile.
But I think it's time. And I'll tell you right now, Kenny, if Carson Strong does turn the ball over, I think you see Christian Solano Or maybe even Malik Henry.
Yeah, we talked about that, John. I mean, I know that we're on opposite sides of this, but I do think that you need to see what's standing on the sideline. I really do.
No,
I think Strong is the future. Yeah. I do think that. But, man, wouldn't you hate it just to say, we don't want to be sitting here at the end of the year with four games left. Henry gets in. Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. And I'm with you with that. I'm not as you know, set in it. I just thought, you know, Carson Strong deserved that first game and it to be in there and it panned out against Purdue. But I was, you know, I was the guy in the Fred Gatlin, Chris Vargas years that was absolutely don't want to see Chris Vargas out there. And I was wrong about that. So,
right.
But it, as far as this game goes, I don't see the Pack getting slowed down if they play their game. If everything that you read about the Union playing their game, then I think that they're just going to roll. They're going to score 40 points.
You would think, and you know, the bottom line is it's really daunting to lay that many points with Nevada given what we've seen so far, but there should be a real clear, you know, talent gap between the two teams. And I don't know what you guys thought about last week, but it was kind of funny because at first I was really disappointed with Nevada's performance. I'm like, really? 19-13? And I mean, they're a play away from losing to an FCS team. But I put it this way, getting out of there, the more I thought about it and the more I heard Norvell giving his press conferences, I thought, yeah, that was a really tough spot. I mean, you look at, first of all, beat Weber State by the same amount San Diego State did.
Yeah,
so it's clear exactly. They're among the top FCS programs out there. The fact that we were coming from a huge beatdown from Oregon, they didn't care. They were unsympathetic. I mean, you still have to play this one. And so that's a tough spot to get right against a team that, you know, they're an underdog now. They want to make a name for themselves by beating you. And I just think that Oregon game's going to be hard to get, you know, it was going to be difficult to get over in one span. It's going to be a hangover. That was pretty evident. You know, the crowd wasn't real enthusiastic. And they did it. I guess what I'm saying is the bottom line is if you had said through three games, that would be 2-1, we'd take it, right, because it's clear.
Nine times out of 100.
Right. It, obviously, the Purdue game would be the X factor. Of course, we're going to go, yeah, of course, we're going to lose to Oregon and beat Weber State. We're going to take Purdue down? Okay. So that's one of those where, you know, whether you make a bowl or not, the game's that hinge on it. The Purdue win still looms as huge.
Yep.
I still think, you know, the loss to Oregon was just an unacceptable effort. But last week, I said, as ugly as it was, it counts as a victory, and now we'll see what they do. Again, UTEP, I still couldn't lay two touchdowns right now.
I know. It's not what you want to do, but I think Kenny's right in you know, this is one of those times where I think the line is going to dictate what's going to happen here, especially with Nick going to the 14.5 instead of the 13.5 on the card there. I think that tells you all you need to know from his outlook, at least. Whether that happens or not, who knows?
Yep. We have to head up. I want to talk a little bit more about it when we get back, but this is the Windmill Sports Show. We have to run off to our first break. This is, like I said, Windmill Sports Show, ESPN 94.5 FM.
All right, welcome back to the Windmill Racing Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM. Ken Barler had to take care of some quick business here at the Club Calneva, so Josh Nagel leading you in real quick with John Stevens. And before the break, we're talking all Wolfpack. Comes right down to it. I got to tell you, I mean, that game's probably going to be a pass for me. We got at UTEP tomorrow with a good chance to go 3-1. I'm trying to look for, I don't know if you have it in front of you, but trying to look for that total. But we have Nevada minus 14 currently.
Oh, it was just up on the board there.
And I think it's 14.5.
No, the 14.5.
And what's the total, Ken? Have you seen?
Let me see.
It's about to flash back here.
You know
here.
What? I just fired up my mobile sports app that I downloaded from William Hill. Josh loves it. He just loves to say mobile sports app.
Fire up the app.
Fire up the app. Let's see. I should have it here in a second.
Let's go, Oak State.
52.
All right. So, yeah, relatively low total. So it shows you, I mean, they don't exactly
expect
offensive fireworks. But, Ken, you're thinking you're going to bet back Nevada in this one?
UTEP gave up 34 to Houston Baptist.
Yeah, that's
not even Cal Baptist.
That's rough.
Not even Cal Baptist.
Cal Baptist is an upgrade.
So, doesn't it seem like a correlated party? John, it's a get well game. Our defense is a playmaker.
I believe so.
Do we not score 40 tomorrow?
I believe so.
So do I. And that's what I'm saying.
But
I mean,
I've been bamboozled before.
That's true. And, you know, the one thing we have to worry about, Pack opens up conference play next week, too. They're back home next week.
Yeah,
Hawaii.
Now, that's homecoming, which I thought they should have done that with Weber.
Listen,
but
there's no look-ahead games anymore.
There's no look-ahead games.
We have to get
this. By the way, I want to check that out. Hawaii is going to be a good game.
It's going to be a great game. Great
game. I'll go get Rolo drunk.
Hey, didn't you have some beers with Rolo once?
Whiskeys. Yes. Rolo ain't messing around with no beers. We're drinking whiskeys.
All right. With that being said, Pat at home, or on the road tomorrow versus UTEP playing 14.5, total of 50. Would I say 51? Is that what it was?
You said 52.
Okay, 52. That's what it is. All right, good deal. There you go. Three games tonight, or two games left still tonight. Pack plays tomorrow. Let's stick. We can continue on this college football.
Okay.
Anything you got, real quick, Josh? There's still out a couple of games. We don't need to go down the whole slate.
Sure, there's a few. I mean, the big one tomorrow morning is Wisconsin, Michigan.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny because right now it would seem like Wisconsin has the edge. Like Michigan just barely survived against Army, and they're getting down in Harbaugh. And here's what's funny though, from my research and everything I've seen. I mean, come on, Wisconsin's beating up a couple bad teams. South Florida, Central Michigan. I'm starting to feel like I like the vibe of the Wolverines here. Again, from what I can tell, this is one of those that the whole world appears to be jumping in on Wisconsin. It's 3.5. If you could get 4, this is huge. I mean, John, if Michigan loses again, they might be getting head calls for Harbaugh, get him out of there.
And, I think he's already fell.
Well, yeah, he's an underachiever so far, but this is probably the best team he's had. I just think everyone's down on him after what happened to Army. And I'm not convinced. I think Wisconsin has a decent team, but I'm not convinced man for man they're better than Michigan. And, again, also the helping of points. It could be a three-point game either way. I'm starting to think Michigan gets it done.
Yeah.
At least covers.
Who would be on deck for Michigan if that was if they were to make a move there? That's what I always find interesting.
Yeah, can you do better?
Can you do better? I think Bob Stoops can go to Auburn, and that would be about the only upgrade. Yeah, I've been reading some things that their boosters are all about Bob Stoops, and that kind of makes sense to me. But this game, Wisconsin is just so Wisconsin year in, year out. You know what you're going to get. You know how solid they are.
They have beat some bad teams, but they beat them down.
Except last year. I mean, what do they have? They were awful, which
brought
me out.
Last year, I guess.
You know, in basketball, you know, in football, for the most part, mm-hmm. what you're going to get from Wisconsin at all times.
Exactly.
But it's... But I kind of like your thinking here. I think Michigan's better than they're given credit for. That's a loaded team talent wise.
Exactly.
And if they put it together, they're going to be really scary. And they still have a chance in that conference to make some big time noise. So I like it keeping close. I think it's going to be a tough game for Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's one of those where I do believe just the points could come into play, and I kind of like the fact that everyone's on Wisconsin. It never hurts to sort of consider.
I think
the
Wolverines
are going
to go to Camp Randall and win. No, but.
Exactly, but you never know. And there's another one, Ken, later on. I researched extensively sort of the national game of the week, if you will, but primetime. Texas and Oklahoma State opened up -6 and 73. Both have gone down. It's like the last I checked, it was actually down to 4.5 and I think 72.
I just saw 7.
And really?
Hold on. Keep talking.
But anyhow, all the early money was on Oklahoma
State. Yeah, 7 and 73.
Yeah, it must have come back the other way. All the way down to like 4.5.
See, it went down and came back up?
Yeah, it was early money was on Oklahoma State because it did open 6, and suddenly it just kept going down. I was like, I locked in, I think, on Sportsline at -4. I put a pick on there, 4.5. But I think the Horns get it done. So I don't know if that means there's a huge Oklahoma State injury or something we don't know about.
I don't know.
But I do know this. Oklahoma State's actually dominated the rivalry. They seem to just have their number. Gundy seems to find a way to confuse Texas, and he's always got that offense going. They beat him 3 years in a row, Oklahoma State has. And they gave Texas – beating him last year basically knocked Texas out of they still ended up playing for the Big 12 title, but knocked him out of any playoff hopes. This time, Oklahoma State, again, they've beaten up on some pretty bad teams so far. They're still always okay because Gundy's a great coach, but I just think this is where Texas does get the best of them. I wouldn't lay the 7, but I like the opening number.
It's definitely a teaser play. I'll put Texas on a teaser, but if you think I'm ever going to bet against Mike Gundy and that lettuce, you're out of your mind.
That's funny. I mean, I usually won't either. Believe me, I'll never bet against
Love
Gundy like when they're at home. As a home dog, too, forget it. I mean, yeah, he's great.
This is why I'm excited about Mason Rudolph starting for the Pittsburgh Steelers because of Mike Gundy.
I was going to ask about that, by the way, because we'll get into that with the NFL. But I also think, too, John, because I have some parallels. I seriously think that, like, basically he and Baker Mayfield are similar to Sam Bradford and Colt McCoy. I mean, their trajectories were Rudolph was an absolute afterthought, more or less. And he had basically the same college career as Mayfield.
If not better.
Just not the hype because they weren't ranked high.
Because he doesn't plant the flag.
Because they didn't go to the playoffs.
He's not disrespectful.
But there's some other big ones. What do you think? I'm stuck on this. We got 14 and Georgia against Notre Dame. Here's what's funny. I actually thought it would open like 9.5, 10. I was stunned to see Georgia open 14. And now it goes up to 14.5. It's like, I feel like they're trying to suck you in for Notre Dame.
Wow.
And yet I still can't do it because now I'm starting to feel like it's a trap.
Like the Irish there, man.
I sort of do too, but.
And that's completely against who I am,
right,
to like the Irish.
But you know, it's one of those others where I kind of was considering Notre Dame if it was at 10, and now at 14, I don't want it because
scary.
I'm like, what's that telling you?
But I
really think Georgia's going to blow their doors off.
Georgia's unbelievable. But Notre Dame's very, very good.
And Buck, they have like almost all their key players. I lost a couple of key defenders. But they have almost all their all offense back, which is just solid.
And so,
they're efficient.
Since the last time they played down there, the Irish are 23-3 and Georgia's 25-5.
Right.
So they've had this a similar trajectory, obviously,
right.
As
Georgia won at Notre Dame by like 1 point.
If Georgia played
Jake Fromm's first game ever.
Yeah. If Georgia played Notre Dame's schedule, they'd be 30-0, of course. But that's a different story. But, man, 14.5. I got to lean Irish here.
I do, too. That's just too many points. I mean, I can't.
What do you think of that, Ken?
I'm still looking at the Wisconsin game. I've made up my mind. I like Wisconsin. I just don't think Michigan going on the road and win this game. I just don't think they can go up to Wisconsin and win this game. The Irish, I would only have the points in the game.
Yeah,
I think that it's
over
a dangerous
two touchdowns,
spot.
Man.
Yeah, just I mean the game could play low, and if the game does play low, I mean why not take the two touchdowns?
So yeah.
Well, another game I want to get your guys' opinion on. There's another great Mountain West Conference game. 7:30 game tomorrow. Utah State versus San Diego State.
Yeah, that one.
That's another great game.
Utah State's -4 with a total of 54. Yeah, I keep wanting to look for reasons. Every time I see San Diego State, it seems like they just look worse and worse, and yet I still think they're undefeated. I don't even know how they end up doing this kind of thing. But Utah State's they just have more weapons. I can see why they're the road chalk here. I mean, they're pretty explosive. San Diego State is just going to want to turn it into the pro-style just brawl. I think Utah State's got a little too much for them.
Yeah. First of all, San Diego's not a state. Let's cover that.
What about this game later tonight?
Boise is not a state as well. Utah, I have it on good authority as a state.
Well,
and I have it on good authority that Utah State is a better football team.
Hold on.
What?
Now that you said Utah, it just jogged my memory.
Yeah.
Did you see, way off a sports subject, audience, and I apologize.
Don't apologize.
Because half of the audience is going to like what I say. The other half is going to go, chauvinist. You ready?
Yeah.
Six states passed that it's okay for girls to go around without tops.
Really?
Yes. Totally barebacked, no tops. Six states. Utah was one of them.
Really?
Oklahoma, exactly.
That doesn't surprise you. Good for Utah. Where's Nevada in this whole...
I don't know. But the Agar guy's going, that's what I'm talking about. He's been thinking about transferring.
How about Utah?
Yeah. I mean, he took his headset off. He's going, listen.
He's going to get hot and bothered over
he
here.
He is. He's going, oh, my goodness. Six states. It's called...
I like it.
What's it called? The breast law or nipple law or something like that. No, I don't think it's a bad word.
it's not a bad word.
Chasing, make sure you got the buzzer ready.
Fine.
Because
Utah seems an unlikely candidate to be on board.
Yeah.
It's
called repression.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, for that reason alone, give me the Utah State Aggies.
Give me the Utah State Aggies. So anyway, sorry, guys. I don't know what would just jog my memory. But I was talking to Jeff Seary, the president of the Cal Neva today, and he goes, Ken, can you believe this crap? So I go,
do you know the other four states we have?
I know Oklahoma's in there.
Utah, Oklahoma.
I'll be retiring in Oklahoma one of these days.
Yeah.
So being my home state. No, he told me. Montana.
Let's hope it's Arizona.
Montana,
and Florida and California.
Oh, could you imagine if it was Arizona?
Oh, God.
Anyway, sorry. Like I said, half the audience, I know, guys.
Act like they're fine.
If you're riding with your girl, act like you're not hearing this. And, you can't just can't believe it. Anyways, go ahead, Josh.
It's appalling.
Well, a couple other games that catch your attention here. I mean, big SEC action. I mean, Texas A&M against Auburn. A&M's -4. They're awfully solid. Tough to beat at home, but again, that's one where I feel like I kind of like the points there. I mean, A&M is really tough to beat at College Station, but I like what Auburn's doing personnel-wise. I think they're a little bit better team.
Why is Malzahn such on the hot seat all the time? It seems like he's doing a hell of a job.
I know, to me, but it's one of those things where I'm like, hey,
like
Les Miles actually did get fired at LSU.
Yeah.
I like Gus Malzahn a lot, but it's one of those things, like you mentioned earlier, if you're going to get rid of him, who else would you get? I mean, they got rid of a guy who won a national championship to bring Malzahn in because they got tired of him after a couple of years.
Yep.
And it's like, he wins 9 or 10 games. I mean, he may go the way Mark Richt at Georgia, who didn't deserve. But I guess, apparently they got an upgrade because now they're in the playoff, and Richt wasn't doing that. But the guy was winning 10 games every year.
Yeah.
He got fired after losing 3 games to top 10 teams. Malzahn just keeps doing that every year. And it's just kind of funny because he just ends up being a scapegoat, but he's already got a national championship for them. I think he's a great coach.
Well, and that's the thing that I read. Boosters are looking at Bob Stoops to go to Auburn, and That makes some sense, I guess. I don't know.
It goes back to when you go back to coaching, speaking of Bob Stoops, everybody used to always say, aren't you ready for them to fire Bob Stoops at Oklahoma? Well, we didn't know. First of all, we didn't know we had
Lincoln
Riley.
Didn't know you had Link.
Yeah, but I said, well, okay, well, why? I mean, who's in the wings waiting?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to have somebody waiting.
Yeah.
I mean, all these people, respectfully, that called for Chris Althead?
Yeah, oh, God.
What have we done since?
Yeah, you got your wish, people.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's exactly right.
And I
right.
think Norvell's turning things around.
I do,
but,
too.
I mean, but you see what I'm saying. I mean, don't just think that there's a better coach out there. I mean, just don't think that. You better have somebody
yeah.
ready and waiting.
If you have Lincoln Riley on deck,
but
okay.
you didn't know. We
Nobody
did not
knew.
Know that.
Nobody knew.
So, anyways, go ahead, Josh. My little rant
yeah.
about head
no,
coaching.
I agree. Most of the time, it's like, yeah, only if you have that person in place where, I mean, for instance, whether it's Texas with Tom Herman, sometimes they actually have the plan in place and they execute it, but a lot of places just go, like LSU appears to be doing all right, but you know what they aren't? I mean, they're not better or worse than Les Miles. I mean, they're just sort of that same status quo. It's not like Orgeron's taking them to the next level.
You know what? I think right now with the hiring of the offensive coordinator's name escapes me right now. I think they have kind of turned that up
this year. They look better than I've ever
they look,
seen.
This is the best LSU team I've seen since the national championship.
Offense. Yep.
Absolutely.
One key game in the Pac-12, you talked about Oregon. Can they, after that Auburn loss, still make a run at the playoffs and win that Pac-12? Where they're at Stanford, -10.5 with a total of 57.5. First of all, I think it goes over because I think this could be a pretty high-paced game. Stanford's everyone's down on. You realize they lost the quarterback against Northwestern Costello. He was back last year, but, yeah, they ended up actually getting blown out by UCF or whatever. But they came back. It was where they were really getting their doors blown off, and they made a bit of a rally in the fourth quarter, keep it respectable. But he didn't play the whole game. And for some reason, Stanford's one of those, ever since in the current era, with David Shaw, the physicality against Oregon's finesse, Stanford, for some reason, they've always had their number. Remember last year, they were actually down, I think it was 24-3 at halftime at Oregon.
Oh, I remember.
Came back and beat them in overtime. So this would say payback for Oregon. And, yeah, I have a hunch, even though Stanford's not great, they've had the injuries on defense this year, but Costello is back, and he's probably behind Herbert, second-best quarterback in the Pac-12. I think the Cardinal find a way to cover this. A ton of points.
10.5 is a lot of points, but I don't know. I think Oregon, we mentioned the loss early to Auburn, which, the game they most likely should have won.
Yeah.
Blow the doors off of the Wolfpack, beat the Grizz pretty well.
35 bonk.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, that shows you Montana, that's pretty respectable. They gave up half.
It is.
Less than half the points that Nevada did.
Oklahoma. Nevada was just in a bad spot when they went and played Oregon.
They're
coming off that loss, but.
It was ugly, but it's I don't know. I tend to bet on Stanford. I love Stanford at home. It's
exactly.
a 4 o'clock game, so it's not a night game per se, but it will be towards the end in the gloaming. But it's I don't know. Just at this point, I just don't think Stanford's on that level. I just don't, and I'm a Stanford backer from day one.
Let's head off to our next commercial break. We can come back. We'll jump right into the NFL slate. This is William Hill Sports Show coming to you live from the Club Count Eva on ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B. from ESPN 94.5 FM. You can like the show on our Facebook page at Kenny B. ESPN Sports Handicapping. Kenny B. ESPN Sports Handicapping. And you can follow all of Josh's stuff on Sportsline. He has tons of articles right out there for the world to see. He doesn't shy away from any wager. So Josh Nagel at Sportsline and Josh Nagel 1 on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter, Ken Barler. That's it.
All right.
B-A-R-L-O-R. Josh?
No, I appreciate it again. And like you mentioned, we got everything up there, all sports. So if you're just looking for my opinion on anything, like you mentioned, it's out there for the world to see.
All right, out there for the world to see. Let's start skinning this NFL card, as Nick McDonough used to say. Game 1, 10 o'clock, Packers at home versus the Broncos. Number opened up at 7.5. Been bet down to 7. Total opened up at 42.5, and it's moved to 43. Josh, I might as well just lob this one right up to you.
I like Denver in this one, Ken. Here's what's funny is I keep thinking Green Bay's overrated, but they've covered every game so far. But as well as I do, they probably shouldn't have covered last week against the Vikings. It's still 21 points, and then what was it, 10 against the Bears? I don't know. I mean, Denver, this is their kind of game. They're defensive-oriented. 7, of course, huge spot in the NFL. Offense, it was getting progressively better. They've got enough playmakers to hang in there. I don't see the Packers separating.
I like it under if I have anything. What have the Broncos shown, though? I understand the Packers.
I just mean the second half against the Bears, they were getting it going a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I get that. I think it's two pretty quality defenses, obviously, with the Broncos. And Packers are playing good defense this year. They are for the first time in Lord knows how long. But I just – the Broncos haven't shown me anything to think that they'd be someone I'd want to put my money on. So yeah. It'd be well, just,
did
just
you
the
see
under.
That wild finish against the
oh,
Bears?
Oh, my goodness. That was something
that
else.
That sequence of events was just crazy. At first they're going to go for two, then you know they miss the extra point, but then there's offside, so then they go for two again and make it.
Not as crazy as Tulane and Houston last night. But
I know.
Don't even get me started
oh,
there.
Yeah, exactly. We're not going to go there because I lost a lot on that too.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, it's under or nothing for me in this game.
I mean, the one thing I look at, like you said, John, you had said that Green Bay and their defense is, you know, playing well this year. The little Achilles heel, though, is 122 yards. They're giving up 122 yards a game on the ground. Uh-huh. And I think Denver, with you know, they're gonna want to run the ball. Hopefully Flacco doesn't make many mistakes and they can keep it close, which also, John, plays into your under theory. So yeah. I kind of like dog and under in this spot. And I have a feeling that Josh and I will be using this in our big contest. So.
Yeah, I like it for sure.
All right, game two, Eagles at home versus the Detroit Lions. This opened up at 6.5, a full-point move to the dog in this game. Number's 5.5 right now. Total went from 46.5 down to 45.5, Josh.
Yeah, Ken, and this is one I did also exhaustively kind of research for sports. And like you mentioned, it opened 7.5, goes inside to 6.5, and we got like, whatever, 5-6 games, that exact number this week. There's always kind of an odd dynamic. But I'm starting to like the Eagles in this one because you know what? The Lions did their thing. Last week they played really well at home against the Chargers after that week one collapse and tie against the Cardinals. I just don't think they're that great. And here's the thing about the Eagles. They've always been poor the last few years. The first like 4 or 5 weeks, they don't cover anything. You know, probably they came alive in the fourth quarter last week after being outplayed by Atlanta. Of course, almost won that game. But I just see, you know, you talk about get right games and everything else. I feel like the Eagles are going to come alive in this one. You look at the Lions' output the first two. I'm not sure they can hang. I just feel like the Eagles are going to have high offensive output, and I think they blow them out.
How's the Eagles' health as far as the receivers and the
Deshaun Jackson
offensive,
and Alshon Jeffrey, I think, are they're both questionable. Leading towards will not play. Uh-huh. Corey Clement, shoulder, same thing. So you look like Nelson Aguilar. That's the number three. It looks like he's going to be the lead receiver there. That's the only thing that concerns me a little bit right there. You know, so I would probably – I'd probably pass on this game, Josh, just because of the – Wentz hasn't been playing great. He's been playing good, but not great. Not Wentz great.
No, I agree. It's second half last week he did, but it was too late. But, yeah.
Yeah, so with that being said, this would probably be a pass for me. I just think it's too many points. And I mean, gun to my head, but it's such a low number, though, 2.5. I'm going to have to wait and see maybe at game time if it comes down any more. I'd be looking to maybe, if it gets down to 5, 4.5, I'd probably be looking to back Philadelphia at home in this spot. But otherwise, it's just going to be a pass to me. I don't know how much confidence I have in Detroit going on the road.
Yeah, no, that's the problem. 8 of the last 9 Lions games have gone under, by the way.
And which, once again, you know, you're looking at the total moving a full point to the under, John, and from 46.5 to 45.5. Kansas City at home versus the Ravens, another fantastic matchup.
This is a matchup here.
Yeah, look at this, 6.5 to 6. The total, one of the biggest totals on the board, if not the biggest total on the board. I thought there was one that was close. Nope, 52 is the number, down from 54.5. So if you're looking for a little scalp value, 2.5-point move on the total towards the under. So on the white parlay card, the half-point parlay card that Nick puts out here, you can still play under the 54.5 and scalp 2.5 points towards
right.
the total.
So it looks like those who jumped in there and moved that total are kind of thinking that Baltimore's defense is going to be able to kind of limit, you know, a real high offensive output, maybe make this a little more of a lower scoring game.
You
know, it's a tough one with the Chiefs. I got to tell you, I'd like to get more than, you know, the key number. If I was maybe getting 7 or 7.5, I'd consider Baltimore. But especially with the way Kansas City's looked so far, kind of a repeat of last year, at least in the early going, with all these offensive numbers, I couldn't back a dog at inside, you know, at inside of a touchdown. So given the way it stands, I'd say Chiefs are passed. We'll see.
I know. I would love to make a better case for the Ravens. You know, I think, I think the Ravens are the best team in the division. This is a tough assignment, though. Lamar Jackson going in there, and you know he's been fantastic so far this year, and the defense. This isn't your typical Ravens defense. It's a very solid defense, but it's not a defense that's going to shut down the Kansas City Chiefs. at home. I don't see that happening at
all. Not either, although they competed with them well last year.
Absolutely.
In a similar spot, but.
No, absolutely, I get all that. The Chiefs just have that look again. And, you know, it's September, Andy Reid, you know how that goes. And it's
exactly.
Just, I'd love them.
Especially early on. Maybe later on when they fall off.
Yeah, exactly.
Bit, but not right now.
It's definitely going to be a teaser play for me with the Chiefs. I'd love to make a better case for the Ravens to bet them straight up, but I just can't.
No, likewise. So, Ken, we want to go on to the next one here. We got Bengals and Bills. Bills minus 6 with a total of 44. To me, it's one of those. The Bills have been impressive, and, hey, I'm glad to see them do well. It's interesting. They've got a lot of young talent. Their core nucleus is pretty good. Can't lay a touchdown here, though. I mean, I would actually take the points.
I just have John Ross in fantasy, so that's all I'm worried about in this game.
He's been huge. Believe me, I've been doing some stuff. They had, like, a weekly DFS thing against a couple of buddies, and one of my buddies took him last week. I was like, oh, that was huge. I missed out. He had a great fantasy
week. I'll be the kiss of death for him. But it's all right. I picked up Lamar Jackson too instead of Brady. But that's neither here nor there.
So, Ken, how about Bills and Bengals? Anything?
Bills
are good, man.
Huh?
Bills are good.
They are. Devin Singletary, though, the running back. He looks like he's going to be out. So,
Looks
like Frank Gore's. Well, he's okay for
is
a spot
Frank Gore
start.
Like 40 now?
Doesn't matter.
But still, that team can run
doesn't
the ball.
Doesn't matter.
That team can absolutely run the ball, And the one thing the Bills can still do, guys, is play defense. They're giving up 296 yards. They're in the number 6 after 2 games. Only giving up 296 yards a game, and you kind of look at the Cincinnati team, John. I mean, because they've been throwing the ball around a little bit, but man, going on the road trying to win in Buffalo. But am I ready to lay 6.5 points in this game? Probably a pass,
nope.
Guys. But the number has went from 43.5 to 44. So I mean, there is a little bit of money coming on the over.
Yeah, and that's I don't know. Josh Allen's playing good ball. Bills are playing good ball. So this will probably be another teaser play for me having the Bills just to win the game.
All right, Josh, next game.
All right, next one, Colts and Falcons. Colts minus 1.5. Total of 47. This actually opened in some places 3 or 2.5. So it's come down and shows you there's some money in Atlanta. We know how historically poor they've been on the road lately. But put it this way, me and Ken had them last week against the Eagles. Thankfully, they held on Sunday night. They're in need of that signature win. I do think they'll be an improved team. And after they just got smashed by the Vikings in week 1, when it comes right down to it, this is an odd spot for the Colts. But if there was ever a time to like Atlanta on the road, I think it's here. I think they're the better team. It shouldn't be an underdog.
You never get on the right side of the Falcons.
I just can't. What are they, like 3-20 on the road the last 4 years or something against the spread?
They looked really good against the Eagles on Sunday night or Monday night, whatever the hell
night
that was.
For at least the first couple quarters.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just I have no idea if the Colts are good. This is as tough a game. I have nothing. There's just nothing I can do with this game.
It's a tough one.
I agree. Everybody, initially you look at the overreaction because of the Andrew Luck theory, being out. But look, Jacoby, he's been playing okay. I mean, I don't.
The Colts have been decent. They did win at Tennessee last week.
Right, but it's like what you guys said too. I mean, realistically, with a backup quarterback and the Falcons, you kind of think that the Falcons are the play here, and I agree. I think the Falcons are able to go in there. Marlon Mack is a little bit banged up for the running back, so it looks like Hines and who is the other running back? Do they have two running backs? Mack, Hines, and I went blank real quick. But I don't know how much he's going to play, but eventually with all the experience that Atlanta has on offense, something's got to give. And I think that this is a prime spot. Atlanta's 1-1 right now. They're averaging 18 points a game. I mean, doesn't eventually they just have to break out? I mean, Matt Ryan, Ridley, Julio Jones.
You would think.
At times they resembled that team last Sunday. Actually, the defense came up huge. Matt Ryan decided to start throwing it to the Eagles. The defense had some huge stops. But for a while, of course, they did get the huge quick hitter. The game-winning score to Julio Jones, you would think they have the weapons to do some damage.
Josh, real quick, you mentioned Tennessee right there. How have they laid such an egg the last 2 weeks after what they did to the Cleveland Browns?
After they went to the Browns, like, oh, they're not going to be bad. Suddenly they're overvalued. It's like, well, Colts was 1-score game, though. They lost it by a few points. But last night, I didn't see coming.
Not at all. Anyway, go ahead.
No, that's okay. I think it's a good spot for the Colts, in a pick'em game going on – or excuse me. I think it's a good spot for the Falcons. In a pick 'em game going on the road, Falcons are getting 1.5. That's kind of where it's still at. 47.5 is the total with a slight move to the under, down to a flat 47, Josh. I just think with all the offensive weapons that Atlanta has, I think they're going to be a little bit more capable of coming back in this situation. So with that being said, I think that we'll probably end up using Atlanta in the contest too, Josh.
I do too, because it seems like we agree on that one. You know, so the next game is Vikings against the Raiders. Vikings minus 9 with a total of 43.5. Vikings at home. You know, this actually opened around 7, and I like Minnesota quite a bit at that number, so now it's starting to get inflated. And I got to tell you, though, it's still inside of 10 points. I would still probably take Minnesota because in week one, Kendall, Oakland, I enjoyed the fact that they beat Denver, thinking this is going to cause a bit of an overreaction and maybe give the Raiders a little too much credit. Sure enough, he had a real cheap discount on him against the Chiefs a couple, you know, last week, just 7 points. They took care of business pretty easily. I just think the readjustment's going to come on Oakland where it's like no free wins. But on this one here, I mean, Vikings should have a pretty significant edge. I mean, I'd be surprised. Oakland goes in there, competes, keeps it a one-score game. I guess they can keep the money, but I think Minnesota routes them.
Yeah, Raiders 1-7 against the spread, last 8 away from the Coliseum. 2-13-2 the last 17 away. So,
and let's face it, Derek Carr was a disaster against the Chiefs.
Yes, he was.
And they were trying to get back in the game, and it was horrible picks.
Yeah, they released a receiver they could have used for sure.
The Raiders, 27th ranked defense in the NFL, giving up 415 yards a game. 415.
Yeah.
I know they played Kansas City in that span, but you know I think Minnesota comes in at home. They're the number 19th ranked defense in the NFL, but they're averaging 185 yards a game on the ground. Yeah. I think they're going to be able to control the clock.
Dalvin Cook.
And I think, Dalvin Cook is great. Touchdown. Law Tech.
Law Tech.
So I know what I got about.
Okay,
I know
cool.
It's right here, about 27 seconds.
All
so
right,
that makes sense. Josh, we haven't confirmed what we're going to use in the contest, but I like Minnesota. It's the one game that I told you earlier in the week that I like.
I do, too.
And
it's a bad number, but I still say we ride it.
I think we're going to ride Minnesota right there, and we're going to take Minnesota in our big contest, try to win that $1 million. So with that being said, this is the time that we have to head off to commercial break a little bit early. Don't forget there's 2 more games left to bet tonight. Still plenty of time to get down on those. We will be back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the second to last segment of the Wim Hill Sports Show, handicapping this pro football thing. Jesse James, I forgot to do it. He likes UC Davis over North Dakota State University tomorrow. UC Davis.
Of course he does.
Can you get a spread on that?
25.5.
Oh, okay.
Plus 25.5. He likes the dogs. So.
Davis is good, man.
A little shout out.
They had Cal beat.
Yeah, a little shout out to UC Davis plus 25.5 versus
UCD.
NDSU. All right, Josh, what game do we leave off for?
All right,
hold on. Isn't North Dakota State a power, or is that North Dakota?
No, that's North Dakota State.
Okay, so
you realize they have a turnover there. Their coach just went to Kansas State, so there's Craig Bowl, and then the Kleiman is at K State, and I don't know who the new guy is.
So they're getting 25.5.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Wow,
Jesse James, I know you're listening. If I quoted you wrong, please correct me, as I know he always does, right, Josh?
Adam
Eats. Exactly. we got Patriots minus 23.5 against the Jets. Look, on our contest, it's bad. So I think it's 22. But you know what happened, though, Ken? You mentioned the sharp money earlier in the week, but I did a little line history. This actually opened at like 19.5, 20, and they jumped on New England to the point where it skipped almost 2 keen, so it skips over 21, almost to 24. I got to tell you, 23.5, I might buy that half point and put a decent bet on there, because the bottom line is the Jets are pretty bad. They're not as bad as the Dolphins, who are getting the same spread against the Cowboys, and the gap between the teams isn't quite the same. The Jets always seem to find a way to hang in there against New England. Is New England motivated to stomp them? They got a little Antonio Brown distraction going on.
That's right. Antonio Brown gone
if you're just tuning into the show. So many points in an NFL game. I suppose New England could still beat them 45-0 or whatever, but I'll take an underdog there.
Yeah, that was my lean all week, and I don't know. I just think it's different now. The thing about the Patriots is that defense is top-notch. So
right now.
What did I call last week? I called a shutout last week in that game. I said 30.
They've allowed 3 total points,
I said 31-0 Patriots. I was off by a little bit. I'm going to call it again.
42-0?
Yeah, 41-0, whatever it was, 42. I'm going to call it again, 31-0 Patriots. The Jets are not going to score.
The Jets could even get in the barn once.
No,
nothing?
I don't. Le'Veon Bell does it himself.
He could break one.
Jesse James said, I'm correct, UC Davis plus 25.5 versus NDSU.
Oh, plus 25.
Plus 25 and a half.
That's where I was confused. I thought you said minus 25.
No, plus 25.
Okay.
So, go ahead. Bell didn't look good last year. They would have got the cover.
That's if he shot,
if
too.
If he doesn't fumble late, they're driving.
On the 5, I know.
Yeah, and he fumbles on the 5.
Hey,
How much more does this guy have left in his tank for a team that's losing? This team's going to be better when Darnold gets back.
Hopefully,
but
nothing.
Until then,
well, he's out of options, man. He's the one who sat out from the Steelers. He can't then also quit on the Jets.
It worked out. Listen, it worked out well for Antonio Brown.
I guess.
He's done.
So
listen, over under. Will, or not over under. Yes or no. Yes or no prop. Will Antonio Brown ever play another snap in the NFL?
Yes.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
For sure.
Not this year.
Because this legal thing is whatever's going to
do. He'll be a Brown or a Seahawk next year.
Yep, and he'll be back. He will.
Brown or Seahawk.
Because this isn't going to derail him for too long.
Is that what you've read?
That's what I've read. He has a really good relationship with Russell Wilson. That was one of the first reports back when the Raiders released him. And the Browns just, you know, they want to stick it to you-know-who.
You know,
Antonio Brown getting released today may be the only win the Steelers get all year, though.
Wow, crazy. Going back to this game, the Patriots game, I like the game to go under. I just, you know, when you get the Patriots, there's some huge stat when the Patriots are laying double digits. You know, the under's almost, it runs at an 80% clip
that's
or something.
What I'm saying.
But I don't know what the trend is when they're laying 20. 20? Give me a break.
The last
NFL game, Josh? 20?
The last time two.
I know, it's unheard of.
You know
it's
that
like
the last time.
It's like 40 in a college.
There was two teams in the NFL lane over 20 was in the strike year of 87.
Huh.
So the last time it legitimately happened, I don't even know.
Yeah,
if
right,
ever.
And the Patriots, and they just keep going up. Of course, they just kind of eye pop in last week at the Patriots laying 20 on the road. They covered that. And I guess against these bad teams, it's just going to keep going up because they're going to keep moving that number on Miami until Miami covers one. So speaking of which, the very next game, Cowboys minus 22. So that's what I think. Again, if Cowboys are going to be minus 22 against the Dolphins.
Kenny's face just went.
Well, the Jets deserve a little more respect than that. But
yeah, exactly.
So Cowboys minus 22, total of 47.5. Dolphins just named Josh Rosen the starter. Fitzpatrick.
Like it.
Doesn't even matter. So they stick Rosen in there. But they've got nobody. The fire sale's complete. They traded Mika Fitzpatrick to the Steelers.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
I mean, the Dolphins have nobody else who's tradable. So the fire sale's done. But they've got AAA. See, here's what's funny. That's the
no
problem
doubt,
with
Whitey.
Tanking. In every other sport, it doesn't matter. Basketball, you're going to tank. Whatever, it's fine. Or baseball. You know, you essentially throw out a AAA team and no one really cares. Throw out a AAA team in football, and it's seriously scary. Those guys do have risk, I think, of injury. We've never seen this is the worst tank in NFL history trying to get that number one pick and Tua Tagovailoa or whoever they want. But I don't know. Can you lay 22? I'll just put it this way. The game for me is a pass, but I frown upon the Dolphins are doing. I think it's pretty bad precedent to tank in the NFL.
I think you've either the Jets or Dolphins cover. I lean toward the Dolphins for some reason. I'm not even really sure why. I don't have a justification for that, but it's just 22 points in an NFL game when, I mean, the Cowboys are playing very well. It's a very talented team, but do they have that? They really have that kind of offense that can do this?
47.5 is the total in this game, and I like the game to go under. I think it's one of those games where you get a big dose of Zeke.
231-0 games here?
Yeah, I mean, of the 22 home games Zeke's played, he's rushed for 100 yards in 17 of those games.
Yeah.
And I think you can get a big dose of Zeke. I doubt he plays the second half. If they get a league, they'll go with Pollard, the rookie, and try and take some of the tread off of the tires of Zeke. And it's a perfect spot for that. You have to be motivated to get to 47 points. And if Dallas is up 24-3, it's run the ball, take the air out of the clock.
No doubt.
And I like the game to go under the 40. I think this should be about a 40. I mean, how many points did the Dolphins score against the Patriots?
Zero.
Zero.
So how many do you think they're going to get on the road in Dallas? Dallas number two offense in the NFL, but Dallas's defense was really, really good last year. Not they haven't quite gelled yet, but they're still a decent defense. I'm looking for the number. I lost the number. Go ahead, Josh.
All right, so next game
I found it.
But speaking of which, I mentioned this real quick. I mentioned the Fitzpatrick trade. I was curious what you thought about this. Yeah, there's some criticism of the Steelers. Like, what are they doing? They're going to lose this huge draft pick. They might, if Ben Roethlisberger's gone for good, they might need that, and they wonder. But I put it this way. I kind of liked it in the sense that I feel like I understand what they're trying to do. Mason Rudolph may be very good. But ever since Chase Year went down or whatever, I mean, put it this way. I think they acquired him with the thought, like, maybe he's the next Polamalu type thing.
Yeah.
I think Pittsburgh's been lacking the last few years. It had pretty vulnerable D. I think they're just starting to look for, like, that signature, like the cornerstone guy on defense. He sets the tone. I think they see that in him. Do you think that's why they made the trade?
Yeah, you know the exact type of guy they'd be looking for in the draft next year? Mika Fitzpatrick. That's exactly what they would have been drafting. So they're cashing in the equity of that just 8 months sooner or however long that is. That's the way I looked at it. Plus, the Dolphins are paying most of his salary. The Steelers are on the hook for $6 million over 4 years for Mika Fitzpatrick.
Not bad.
So and they get a third and a five, I believe, as well. So I loved it. I thought it was not a Steeler move by any means. I didn't see that coming forever, but I love it. And you're exactly right. You have Terrell Edmonds out there, their first round pick safety last year, Minka Fitzpatrick, couple them together, and they're going to use him not just as a safety. They're going to use him like you mentioned, Polamalu, in that way. Polamalu was a rush linebacker. He was a cornerback. He was a free safety. He was a strong safety. He did it all. So that's the way I think they're going to use Minka.
All right. So, Ken, the next game is the first one on the late slate, so 1:05 kickoffs. Buccaneers -6.5 against the Giants, who just named Daniel Jones quarterback. 47.5 the total. It's kind of funny because the spread.
I kind of like the Giants.
Right, me too, Ken, but I like it better with Eli in there because for some reason Eli has a history, actually, of lighting up Tampa Bay. But the spread was the same on Monday morning before Eli was benched or whatever. That was all announced Tuesday. So the spread has. So they're telling you the Giants are the same with either Eli or Daniel Jones in there. He could be all right, but could you even play, you know, the Buccaneers as basically a touchdown chalk against anybody? I don't think so. So I would take the point.
I can tell you right now what I would play, the over.
47?
Well, yeah. I mean, the Giants, what are the Giants giving up on average a game? They're allowing 31 points a game, and Tampa Bay's allowing 22 points a game. So give me the over in this game. I mean, you're going to see a rejuvenated offense with this with the backup, with Daniel, the quarterback for the
Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones, excuse me. You know, and Eli being on the, you know, on the bench, you still have Barkley there. I mean, it's not like Tampa Bay has a vaunted defense or anything.
That's,
I mean,
true. They're still.
Yeah,
they're,
exactly. So
we have some contrasting trends here, Kenny, if you want to hear some trends here,
sure,
in this game.
Trends.
6-1 as a road dog, the Giants are, before the home opener to the Cowboys, that the Cowboys at the Cowboys. I mean,
let me speak right on that, yeah, game real quick too. But if you look, if you look at the total yardage in that game,
yeah,
it's within 50 yards.
Yeah,
so
but,
even though
you know, some of that garbage time as well, and the Giants are over 7 of the last 10 games. Now the Buccaneers are 1-6 the last 7 as home chalk, and the under is 7-1. So it's completely contrasting. The trends are telling you absolutely nothing here.
Bet the over.
Yeah, so you like that over. Daniel
I
Jones.
Do.
Daniel
I
Jones,
do.
Eric.
I do.
We have no Drew Brees. We have no Eli Manning. We have no Ben Roethlisberger. What the hell's going on here?
Yeah, I'm curious to see how Daniel Jones looks or whatever, but also, you know, it is sort of the end of an era. It's kind of sad where it's looking like they seriously are more or less going to have to kick Eli out the door.
You know, he deserves a little better.
We'll see. I mean, I just wonder. I still think, you know, I mean, I've seen worse quarterbacks allowed to play longer, put it that way. You
oh,
know
absolutely.
I mean? But, anyhow, moving on to that next game, it's Panthers -3 at the Cardinals with a total of 46.5.
Come on.
The Panthers are favored despite Cam Newton being out. They're going to have Kyle Allen starting.
Yeah.
So it's either him or Will Greer, but it's going to be Allen. So guy unknown from Texas A&M, unknown on the NFL level. He's a backup. Kyler Murray and the Cardinals gave a pretty good game to the Ravens last week. I would think if they're going to steal a win, you know, I mean, this season they're not going to win many. Among those that they might, it would be this one.
I mean, the Cardinals.
Yeah.
I don't see that at all. And
they've competed reasonably well.
Give me the Cardinals.
Wait, they came back to tie the Lions and played the Ravens to one score game.
Josh, give me the Cardinals -3 with Cam Newton playing. Without him playing, with David Allen Greer playing or whoever else, Kyle Allen, yeah. We saw what the Cardinals did at home against the Lions in that crazy comeback, come all the way back and win that game. You know, Kyler Murray pulled a complete Tebow, looked awful until he had to look great. And the Trojans are in the barn, 6-0 Trojans right now, yeah.
Okay, here, who has the best quarterback in this game?
The Cardinals.
Who has the best running back?
The Cardinals.
Who's got the best wide receiver?
Cardinals.
All right, Josh, can we move on?
Yeah, good call. I'm serious, yeah. I'm surprised. I guess that. Yeah,
who's got the best defense? Panthers.
Right, that's the
who's
that's
on the road?
The X factor,
Panthers.
Exactly. But, no, I believe it's a good spot for the Cardinals as well. Next one, Seahawks -4.5 against the Saints, total of 45. Of course, we know Drew Brees is out. Indeterminate time. Broke his hand on Aaron Donald's helmet last week. You know what I find interesting about this line, John, is obviously –
What about me, Kyle?
Makes no sense.
Sure, but again, well, put it this way. I think it shows you Drew Brees is worth 7 points. He's one of those guys, like, right, he's worth 7 points to the line.
Well, you saw that.
So this tells you if he's out, Saints are -2.5 in this game if Brees is in there. Because I can't believe it went that far the other way. So at 4.5, it seems like a bit of a discount on Seattle. I'll put it this way. For some reason, I have a feeling the Saints just cover. I feel like this is going to be a public special on the Seahawks. And even though it's going to be like a Taysom Hill in, you know, concert with Teddy Bridgewater type of thing, it just strikes me as a little bit odd because you would think with Breeze out of there, the Seahawks would be closer to favored by 6. You think Seattle's going to cover it?
I think Seattle's an interesting animal to me this year. You know, sometimes I think that they're terrible, then they come back, you know.
And should have lost last week.
Yeah, I mean, Russell Wilson had a good game last week. He threw for exactly 300
reversal
yards.
Reversal of the non-defensive pass interference. I just don't.
I got it.
It's ugly. It's not.
Tom Brady doesn't like it. He finally said something you like,
yeah,
didn't he? I'm turning this game off.
It's not just sour grapes that it went against the Steelers. I just don't think that type of reversal is what the spirit of that rule is. It's for stuff like what happened in the NFC Championship last year. It's to get the egregious stuff out of the way. Not a ticky-tack. Yeah, oh, maybe he did touch him a little bit beforehand. That was awful.
How about some of the ones that they haven't overturned or haven't even called when they reviewed? I mean, there's a lot worse. Well,
AB's touchdown was a clear push-off last week, and I don't know why the Dolphins didn't challenge that.
Yeah, because what difference does it make, right? It's like, I mean,
I know,
but still. Scored on the next play anyway. I know what you mean, but yeah, I thought so too. All right, so next game is Chargers.
Hold on,
we have to go to commercial break.
Okay.
Oh, it's our last commercial break.
And I love the Seahawks.
You like the Seahawks in this game?
Love.
All right, good deal. We're gonna don't forget we have to give out our picks too at the end of the game. So Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping, be back after these messages. Welcome back to the Windmill Sports Show. Last segment. I'm your host, Kenny B. You can like the show at Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. We got Josh Nagel from Sportsline. You can like Josh Nagel's stuff on Sportsline. And John the Hawk Stevens. John, you said you like Seattle, right?
I do.
All right, Seattle. We closed out. Next game we have Sandy Los Angeles Chargers at home.
Oh, nice catch.
Versus the Houston Texans. Chargers, Nick, opened up at 3.5. It's down to 3 with a total moving from 47.5 and a half point going up, Josh, up.
Yeah, you know what? It's probably a pretty good spot for the Chargers. I was pretty disappointed with the way they played last week in that they probably should have beat Detroit. They had every chance to. Turned it over at the end. Of course, Rivers, you know, they're driving in there, at least kick a field goal, go to overtime, end zone interception, kind of story of his career. And they should still be one of the top teams in the AFC, though, looking for that breakout game. I think, you know, I'd only have Chargers in this one.
Chargers.
The Chargers.
Los Angeles Superchargers.
Yeah, I'm with you. They kind of laid an egg last week that didn't show up there. I was surprised by that. But
yeah, I was as well.
This is a team that hasn't missed a beat without Melvin Gordon either. Eckler and Jackson are
They're
mostly
fine.
Eckler, but, you know, you got Keenan Allen, who he's a beast out there.
And Rivers said it. He said, we're deep at running back when the whole thing broke out. And, you know.
Yeah, talk about another mistake made by the player with no leverage. Especially as
zero leverage.
And I've read back about the whole, you know, backstory with him and whatnot, and still – and I understand, you know, he wanted more money and whatnot. But still, he was scheduled for, like, what, I think it was about $6 million this year. The Chargers, without even a second thought, said, we'll bump you up to 10. It's a pretty fair raise.
Yeah.
When you're Melvin Gordon. They, without a second thought, said, it's fair. You're doing pretty good. We'll give you $10 million. And then he pulls the old punk thing. No, not good enough. And now he's looking at the option of coming back to what, you know, coming back to a prorated six or nothing.
Yeah. I think Texas is a very good, football team. And I think they're live here. I just think it's a bad spot. Going into L.A., Chargers off that loss, they're going to bounce back. I like the Chargers.
All right. Where's Houston? I want to see what's Houston's offensive rate.
Oh,
20th. But they're averaging 153 yards a game, too, so on the ground. So, you know, I look at this. What's San Diego giving up on the ground this year? Los Angeles Chargers. I already did that, didn't I? I can never get that. Chargers. They're going to be able to run the ball. Chargers giving up 148 yards a game on the ground.
Aye.
148. Houston is averaging 153. Josh, I like Houston in this spot.
That's what you're going to do? All right.
So with that being said, let's move off. Next game. John, I'm going to lead this one with you.
Okay.
The San Francisco 49ers taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right, Nick used 6.5 on the card. It looks like it's still 6.5 in total of 43, John. What do you got?
For the first time since I could ever remember, I have no idea what's going to happen in the Steeler game. I honestly believe in Mason Rudolph. I know the players do. I know the franchise does. I know, you know, they graded him as a first rounder 2 years ago when they drafted him, traded up to get him. He's got all the tools. He's got all the swagger and he can make every throw and everything like
that.
He's
23 and going on 15.
Yeah, exactly.
Mason Rudolph has looked 15 years old since.
Yeah, and it's rough. I have now to put all that together. I know everybody believes in him. I know everything coming out of the Steelers camp is we're going to be fine. It's all smiles, but we're going to see that San Francisco defense, especially the defensive line, is legitimate.
Number seven.
Yeah,
number seven.
Exactly. And so it's going to be rough.
Oh, no, excuse me. That's offense. They're ranked seventh on offense.
The whole squad. Shanahan's doing a great job there. I kind of like the Niners. If we're gonna make a bet, I'd bet on the Niners there. But that being said, I don't know if the Steelers, maybe Mason Rudolph is the answer here.
Yeah, I think Rudolph will be all right. Yeah, I would take, if I could get that whole key number, if I could take the Steelers in 7 points, I think I'd do it. That I expect Rudolph to be all right. I like the Niners.
I'm
the way you've had him the first 2 weeks. As like an road underdog, I like those sneaky spots for the Niners. But not laying a touchdown here, so I'd probably take a touchdown if it was available.
You know, San Francisco's number seven in total offense and number nine in total defense. So, I mean, it's one of those games, Niners going home, and Pittsburgh's going the absolute opposite way. Connor's banged up. John, apparently he's going to play, right?
He's playing, yeah. He's fine.
But, you know, then you have the backup quarterback trying to get things right with Juju Schuster. And I just think it's a bad spot traveling to the West Coast for Pittsburgh. I like San Francisco.
They're getting there in the morning. They're doing something a little different with their travel, because they're 1-5 on the West Coast in Tomlin's era. And their one win happened to be when Roethlisberger was hurt and Mike Vick played in San Diego, you remember, a few years ago? When they won on the walk-off touchdown. But it's not historically a great spot for the Steelers to go to the West Coast, so it's going to be really interesting to see. I expected this line to be over a touchdown, so if it's under the touchdown, that kind of scares me a little bit.
I'm with you guys. I like the Niners in this spot. Browns at home. It's the 5 o'clock game on Sunday. Browns at home versus the Rams. You know, I guess the Browns aren't going to go undefeated. Everybody thought they were, and they're not. Maybe they're not going to win the Super Bowl. Everybody thinks they are. You know, Browns at home, a dog though. Late game on Sunday. 3.5 points is what Nick used in this game. It's down to three. So wise guy money, sharp money has been coming in on the dog here, the home dog. And then also the total, guys. 40,
and that's DAWG in Cleveland.
49.5 was the total. A 2-point move to the under, all the way from 49.5 down to 47.5. This team was in the NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl last year. This Rams team. Can they lay points going back there?
Yeah, here's the thinking. I thought last week, of course, you know I was real big on the Rams. I thought that was a bigger game for them. I understand Breeze was knocked out early. I still think the Rams would have won, though. But I think that was kind of their statement game. And they had a real nice performance in Carolina in week one. So they're on the road again. I feel like, put it this way, I feel like the Browns should be the more motivated team here. And from everything I've seen from the research I've done, the Rams are going to be a public special. So if you want to fade them, I think it's time to take Cleveland.
It's time to take Cleveland. It's one of my favorite plays of the day. It's a night game. That place is just going to be rocking.
Oh, by the way, their first Sunday night, their first primetime Sunday or Monday night game in 11 years.
Yeah.
So
they had a Thursday night game against the Jets.
That's just first Sunday one. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be. I think they righted the ship a little bit last week. They looked good. They looked like who we thought they were going to be.
Exactly.
It wasn't a beat down. You know, it wasn't. You know,
it was solid. It's what they needed to do.
It's exactly
on the road.
And I think the Rams are a little overvalued. And you think there's any Cleveland Rams fans still left living from the time that
I'm not sure. But I just put it this way. I think the Rams will be fine. They're great. They're obviously, I think, kind of picking up where they left off last year. This just isn't a great spot for them. And even if they do win, I think the points could come into play.
You know what it kind of makes me think of is last Sunday night, the Eagles going into Atlanta. I think it's going to be that same type of deal here. And I like the Browns. I love the Browns here. Getting over a field goal at home, and they're the best team in the NFL. I mean, let's do it.
I cannot make an argument against a home dog in an isolated game on Sunday night.
Exactly. We got there last week.
With Baker Mayfield.
All right. Redskins. Bears, Redskins at home dog, Monday night, runs about almost an 80% clip. Bears, three. What did Nick use in this? 3.5. It's already been bet up to 4. Totals went from 41.5 down to 41. This Bears the Bears defense is on point. Bears offense, still out to lunch.
Exactly.
Terrible. Terrible. I'm looking for this number to get to 42. If somehow it gets to 42. Oh, yeah. You got me on the under. That's exactly right, Mr. Josh.
And put it this way, on the spread, I'd probably pass. It's like, oh, you can't.
Touchdown Trojans.
This isn't the time to lay points with Chicago, which I'm not sure you want to do anytime. If you had to pick a side, I'd take the Redskins at the points, but the under is definitely more where I'd like to play.
Bears all night.
Bears?
Bears. Not Bears.
just going to go in and go out there and get it?
Yeah, I think they can. I think they're going to utilize David Montgomery a little more. He got a lot of carries last week. I think they're going to integrate him more and more and more. They're going to play that ball control offense. Offense ain't great. Defense is. Give me the Bears.
So let's, Josh. Any parting shots, anything that sticks out to you in any sport this week? I know you talked a little bit. We're going to post our picks on our website or on our Facebook page at Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. We'll give those out. Anything that really sticks out that you really want to give out for tomorrow? Well, I know there's a couple of wise guys have really matched on Wisconsin and also on Southern Miss.
Yeah, one morning game, I also kind of like Boston College against Rutgers. I mean, after they lost to Kansas, which is a terrible thing to do. But BC's still not bad. I think, you know, they're only laying 7 at Rutgers.
Oh, they killed me against Kansas.
They killed me, too. But, I don't even know how that happens. But BC's erratic. But they should have Rutgers outmatched. So I like that one.
Okay. John, anything that really sticks out?
Yeah. I
parting shot on Nevada. Give me that. Give me that idea.
Well, look, first of all, I think Syracuse bounced back. I like Syracuse. Nevada, I think they score 40 points and they cover that 14.5 is what
I think. If you're going to lay, here's my ice or my not ice lay. What's the correlated parlay?
Yeah.
If you like Nevada laying 14.5, bet Nevada over. And over.
Yeah, I'm with you,
Josh. Nevada and over. It's a get well game.
It makes sense. Like I said, I think that outcome is correlated either way.
And I tell you right now, Nevada goes in there and blows their doors off like I think they will. Might be looking to bet Hawaii next week.
Well, I was just going to say, and if they lay an egg, I'm definitely betting Hawaii.
All right, John, give me your three picks if you got them real quick.
Yeah, Seattle Seahawks, Cleveland Browns, Kansas City Chiefs.
All right, Josh, what do you got?
I'll go with Vikings, Jets, Saints.
Wow.
Okay, Mark Shannon, he likes Cincinnati, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, Shannon.
Washington Redskins.
All underdogs.
All right, kid likes the Colts, Minnesota, the 49ers, and then for college, he gave out Tennessee, Wisconsin, and Northwestern. I'm going to go, Kenny B, I'm going to go with the Giants-Tampa Bay game over. I think that is going to be a shootout. I'm tossed between Houston and San Francisco, but I also love Minnesota a lot. I think a tough spot for Oakland, Oakland to go on the road and get a win. So make sure you like the show on our Facebook page, Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. See you next week on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Thanks for joining us for the William Hill Sports Show. Be sure to tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. for all the action. This is KUUB Sun Valley, ESPN Radio 94.5.